All right, anyway. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Keep It Close to Me, the podcast about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. I'm Chris. I'm your host, your podcast pal. And today we are here for another episode of Comics Rule Everything Around Me. And with me today is a special guest, my friend Matt Drain. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Okay. Now, Matt and I have not... We've known each other for a long time, since like...
High school.
Like the late 90s. But we have not seen each other, have not actually seen each other in real life for gotta be over 10 years. The last time I saw you, you weren't married and, did not have three kids.
Right.
And now you do.
Right.
That's a huge life change.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a little while for sure.
Yeah. But it's also been nice to see though that I mean, of course we've kept up a little bit, you know, on social media and Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. But it's fun when you have, you know, a really good sort of memory of someone and you haven't seen them in a long time and then you see them and it's like, oh, you're still basically the exact same person.
Right.
Like in a as much a positive way as I can possibly put that. So that has been super cool because we went and got lunch before this and because I was like, yeah, it would probably be smart if we got lunch first and kind of got some of the non-comic stuff talk out of the way. Do you feel at all like now that I have segued into actual podcast talk, do you feel like a little bit on the spot and like, what's the word? Like there's a real pressure to say certain things or to get talk in a certain way or anything like that?
Not necessarily. I mean, yeah, a little bit, but I'll just try to ignore it.
Well, that's the thing I was going to say. I was like, because certainly that sits on my shoulders every time the thing starts. I can be talking to somebody, you know, like, and it doesn't matter how well I know them, how long I've known them, you know, like all that stuff. As soon as like, there's just something that changes a little bit when you're like, oh, I know this is something people are actually going to hear. So I ask you that just to say like, let's pretend that's not a thing.
Okay.
Matt, what's your background with comics like?
Been reading comics since I was 10. My first comic, it's funny we're talking about Superman today. My first comic book was a Superman.
Do you remember which one it was?
Yeah, it was Man of Steel, number 9.
Oh, okay.
It was the first issue of Panic in the Sky.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I had not read comics before, didn't really even know what they were. And
How did that happen? How did you end up with, what made you decide, I mean, did somebody give it to you?
Gave it to me. So my dad had been bugging me to clean my room. And so I finally got around to cleaning my room and he'd picked that up at the grocery store. That's right. Back when you could get
back
comics,
when you
at,
could
the
get comics at the grocery store.
And so he picked
yeah.
that up just as a reward for, hey, you cleaned your room. Here's kind of a reward thing. And it was... Yeah, he gave me that and it blew my mind. And and you probably had comics like this. I probably read it 100 times.
Oh,
at least.
Absolutely.
Just going over and over and studying every little inch of every panel, and I was in love. Like I was hooked.
Yeah.
I didn't get the rest of the issues of it because I mean I was a kid. I didn't have access or a way. But
didn't have like well, not even having like that was a kind of that was kind of one of the things I loved about comics when we were kids. And I have no idea if this is like this for kids now. I would guess that it's not. But it was like, to me, it was like always so amazing how, like, there's such a huge focus, I think, on comics now to be, like, to really be accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And to, like, try to, like, let people in on, like, in every issue, try to, like, let people in on sort of, like, what's going on, what's happened. And, like, so much so that it's, like, sometimes you're like, sometimes like if you're reading a trade of something specifically, like I will get to that. And that's something I wanted to talk about in one of the comics we read for today. But this thing of where it's like, either going like, yeah, I know who this person is. I just read this. Like that's like, you're recapping it for me. You're recapping the comic I just read for me in the next issue. And it's like, I get that you kind of want to try to like, if it's possibly somebody's first issue, you want them to know what's going on. But sometimes I loved as a kid getting like some just random issue of Spider-Man or X-Men.
And you got no idea what's happening.
And I have no idea what's going on. But it's like, that's why it's exciting. Cause it's like, it feels like you're just like dropped down into the middle of like this big story that's like got tons of stuff on, you know, behind it. And like, you know, there's going to be like more stuff in your, and then when you get to the end of the issue, you're like, what's going to happen next?
Yeah. And I'm sure I must have known who Superman was, because the movie would have been out. The Christopher Reeve movie would have been out.
Let's see. That one. Well, by the time that came out, all four of the Christopher Reeve Superman movies would have already been out.
Okay.
Because the last one came out in 87.
So I would have known the character, but just something about, man, the storytelling through art. And I'd seen like the funnies and stuff in like the Sunday paper, but man, it was just, I loved it. I was so, and I didn't jump straight into superhero comics from there, because I was big into Ninja Turtles and G.I. Joe.
Right.
And so when I saw that Marvel had a G.I. Joe comic book, that's the first thing I started collecting, like on the regular. Cool, and again, I'd go to gas stations and Walmart and grocery stores to
back when you could just find them all over the place. Did you know that they're trying to do comics in Walmart again now?
No, I didn't know.
But they're doing them in these things where it's like, it's not just like single issues.
Oh, I've
it's
seen
like
that.
Those little packs.
Like by the checkout counter, you can get like three together. They did some of the DC like $5. Rebirth stuff was that way.
Yeah, and they're, I mean, it seems like every so often you hear about like a new initiative to try to do something like that. And actually Marvel, like Archie is one of the comics that you can still get in grocery stores and, you know, Walgreens and like at Walmart and stuff like that. Just in those digests at the, you know, like at the registers and stuff. And Marvel just recently announced that they're going into like a collaboration publishing venture. You know, that Archie is going to start putting out digests of Marvel stuff like that to try to get them into all these places. And maybe that will be like, maybe that'll work. Maybe that'll be a cool, I'm certainly interested to see how it turns out. And I would also, there's a part of me that would love to get those little like digest sized versions current Marvel stuff. But that was like a thing I loved about comics back then, was just going like, I have no idea what's going on. And this is making me want to know what's going on.
Right.
Like I want to figure out what they're talking about. And like when you see those little like editor note boxes down there at the bottom where it's like, oh, this happened in Uncanny X-Men 168. And then I would go like, and I'm looking
as a kid, you've got no chance of getting your hands on that or ever finding. There's no Wikipedia. There's no
And I'm just going like, well, what? Where can I find that? How can I find out about that? And so much of that stuff, there would be things where it was like, you would have to try to like find someone else that knew about comics and ask them questions, or, you know, stuff like that. Maybe there was some other kid at your school,
some older kid,
that also read comics and then was like, oh yeah, well, what happened in that was Magneto, blah blah blah.
A lot of misinformation that way.
Well, that was another thing. It's like so much of my comic information, my early like comic information, didn't actually come from the comics. It would be from like either talking to like the guy at the comic book store. Once I found out there was like a place,
right?
There's like a place that's just full of comics. You know, it'd be something like that, or it would be like when they started putting out like the Marvel cards. Where it was like, and those would have like
the info on the back.
You'd have the info about Spider-Man on the back, and it would have like, you know, stuff like his height. And that was like the thing, like there's so many of these characters where it's like, then like those cards would get like really popular at school. And even people who didn't like comics would like get into those cards because the cards were popular. Mm-hmm. And so then you've got like all these kids like memorizing stats and figures about Spider-Man, like it's baseball cards or something, you know, and it's like, oh, well, Captain America is actually 3 inches taller than so-and-so, you know, and it's like, and all that stuff. But then there would also be those cards where it was like, it would say the, you know, like, oh, this is a card about, a famous storyline.
Right.
You know, like the Fall of the Mutants. And it would have like that little synopsis of what happened in that and like the issue numbers that it was in or whatever. Right. And you'd go like, oh, man. And all you had to go on was like one picture on the front of the card and the synopsis on the back. And you go like, man, this sounds so awesome. You know, or like whatever some crossover was or something. The Kree-Skrull War. This sounds so cool. Or you'd be like, the picture on the front wouldn't grab you. And you'd be like, this sounds dumb. And it's like,
it'd be a good story, but the artist they picked for the
And it's some story that's
Marvel
like
masterpiece.
It's like some story that's like literally like a masterpiece, you know, or like a legendary, you know, famous run. And you, but because you're this dumb kid that's just like, I don't like the art on this one. Yeah. And suddenly you're just like, yeah, I never need to read that.
Yeah.
And even when you, you know, like when stuff started getting more and more available to you, like, and you've already kind of got, like, without even realizing it, that predisposed, like, I don't like that. And it's like, then you read it later in life and are like, oh, what an idiot I was. But what, do you remember, like, what it was about that Superman that, like, really, like, that issue in particular? Yeah, I mean, do you remember, first, well, let me start over. What happens in that issue?
Okay, I'm going just straight from memory.
Yeah. The and the worse you do, the better. The more fun it is.
Lois and Clark are in a coffee shop or a diner or something.
When would you say was the last time you read this comic?
It's been a while.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Do you think you've read it in, you know, since you were an adult? Reread it since you were an adult?
Yes, probably. Yeah, probably have pulled it out since I was an adult.
Do you still have that issue somewhere?
I think so. Yeah.
Awesome.
I don't keep most of the comics just because they fill your house. There's no way. So I just keep favorites.
They sure do.
I just keep favorites and I'll buy trades of like super favorites and stuff where, if I'm being honest, I'm never probably going to read this again. It goes to eBay.
Yeah.
And I'll get rid of it just to get it out of the house. Because anyway, but that one I've kept just because the sentimental value. So it opens Lois and Clark are in some kind of diner or coffee shop. And
this sounds like the kind of thing to really get a kid hooked.
Brainiac's Skull ship is in the sky.
Oh, okay. Now we're talking.
It's destroying buildings. And then Superman, man, the first splash page is... He's flying up, and I don't know that this is a job for Superman.
Yes.
I don't know if it's that exact line, but it's that idea. He's flying and ripping his shirt open. And then it was very much the meat of the issue was a battle between him and the Skull ship, and he's doing the classic punching laser beams, and it's pushing him down into the sidewalk, and he's straining against it, and he's fighting it back, and... Man, I don't know how much I'm blending with the Max Fleischer cartoons
now. Yeah, I was
going
to say.
But he does get in the ship. I want to say he has a punch out with robots.
Okay.
I
could see this being like life-changing to a little kid. Yeah.
Yeah, and then...
If this was your first comic.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't know what a Brainiac was, but he's in there. And there's some kind of energy that's hit him, and he's hurt. And then he's maybe at least incapacitated or beaten, and he's in the Brainiac ship. And then it cuts away... to Brainiac, and he's sitting there, and he's sitting in a chair, like, stroking his chin, being evil, and he's got some guys around him. He's at least got Supergirls there, and I remember that being really odd. Talk about being thrown in the middle of something, you don't know what's happening. Supergirl's there as a bad guy.
Right.
And I have no basis for, you know, what a Supergirl is or anything, or certainly why she would be bad, and then, having read a lot of comics since then, it may not have even been Supergirl. That may have been that shapeshifter that was Supergirl for a while before the death of Superman. And anyway, so, and then that's how it ends on that shot. You've got Brainiac, you've got Supergirl on one shoulder. There might have been other bad guys there with them too. And then the tease on the next page for collect the next issues of Panic in the Sky is going to run 8 issues or something. I never got another issue. But that comic, man, I read it again and again and again. I would try to draw the panels and... best I could.
I imagine that's like a really big thing too, is like if you're a kid who already has like some kind of artistic inkling or just some kind of creative, there's some kind of that creative spark in you that you feel like you want to do something, but you have no idea what the outlet for it is. You don't have the mental faculties yet for it to know, like, I want to try to do this with something, or I have these feelings that I don't even know how to get out. And, like, then you see a comic and go, like, oh, I could do this.
Yeah. I can't make a cartoon.
Yeah.
But I can make this.
Yeah, like, oh, that's perfect. Yeah, the idea of, like, you've seen cartoons and stuff. And you'd be like, oh, I wish I could draw that. And it's like, but I can't make it move.
Right.
And then you see a comic and are like, oh, my gosh, this is like that. But something I can understand, like, how you draw this. And, yeah, oh, man. I don't think I've ever even thought of it sort of in that way before, that it's like that's part of how it would like hit you. So have you ever read, did you end up ever reading the rest of Panic in the Sky?
I actually don't think I have. I may have read a Wikipedia summary or something, or like you said, all those stories get referenced. So
yeah.
I'm sure whenever Brainiac appeared again, he probably referred to that, but I don't think I ever finished it.
Well, the big thing I remember about Panic in the Sky was, there was when the death of Superman started happening, which was basically the next big Superman thing after Panic in the Sky, there was supposedly like some hints in, or possibly red herrings in Panic in the Sky, saying that like Brainiac was responsible for Doomsday. When everybody was like, what's the word I'm looking for? Theorizing about where Doomsday came from. Because
he was a mystery. When he just pops out of
the
ground.
Totally a mystery.
Birds and choking deer and that's it.
Yeah, yeah. Just burned into my brain that like, let's that little bird Gorch. Land on his hand. And yeah. But yeah, there was like back in Wizard Magazine, there was all this like speculation and like, where did Doomsday come from? Because you never find out in that story. I mean, in the course of the death of Superman, you never know what the deal is. It's just like,
you don't even find out he's from Krypton or anything in that.
Nothing.
Okay.
It was like, you know, years later before they kind of established like a backstory for Doomsday. And that was kind of like what was so, not at the time, I mean, I didn't think about it at the time, but like in retrospect, that's kind of what's like so horrifying about that story and about Doomsday, is this idea that it's just all of a sudden this monster shows up that's like just came from nowhere, doesn't say anything, he doesn't have,
don't know his motivation, don't know what he wants, can't appease him.
Yeah, it's just, there's nothing you can do, he's just like a walking engine of destruction, and it's like, and he just shows up, Superman's never even seen him before, and all of a sudden this guy shows up and kills him, you know, and it's like, that's so bonkers to think like, this guy just like came in out of nowhere and like totally took down all of your, you know, just makes, you know, like runs through your heroes, all these other Justice League guys.
Yeah, just, he takes that, and that was, I remember reading that and it just being so intense, where he's just plowing through Blue Beetle and Booster Gold.
Yeah, man, when
Gold
he like, and who, was it Blue Beetle or Booster Gold that he like slams his head in the car door? I think it's Blue Beetle
because the lens is on his.
Yeah, but I was just like, this is brutal.
Yeah.
And it was like, so, yeah, just like so intense. And
11, 12 year old, you're like, this is the most wonderful thing.
Yeah. But it's also like this, like I genuinely feel scared for all these guys, you know, and that was not like a feeling I had had before. And I was like, even though the thing was called The Death of Superman, I was like, they're not really going to kill him, though. Right? Oh man, you want to talk about going to bed crying the night that final issue came out at Superman 75.
Black
Bang. Oh my gosh. Talking about just crying, like, I can't believe they killed Superman. But they, that whole thing of like, just, he just shows up and just right through all of these guys, like it's nothing. And it's just, what does he want? What is, you know, where did he come from? You don't know anything about him. Just shows up and, you know, beats everybody up, and then he and Superman kill each other. And it's like, well, what? I mean, and I guess that's kind of like, I'm sure the people writing this were thinking about that, is like, that's how life is sometimes. It's like, you know, like metaphorically, it's like, yeah, sometimes something awful just happens. And it's like, wait a minute, that was somebody I cared about. And like, what do you mean they just, you know?
And for it not to be Lex Luthor, for it not to be Brainiac, just this mystery villain that adds to the horror of it, adds to the...
Yeah, and like, and just out of nowhere, completely like, just, oh, I mean, and that's, I'm sure they have literally never thought about this aspect of it until we were talking about it right now. And it's just like, yeah, it feels that, even though it's like a big gray rock monster, it also is like, you could very clearly go like, yeah, that's what real life is like.
Yeah.
You know, that sometimes something
terrible, sometimes it's something random that just takes you out.
Out of nowhere, and it's like you had no idea. You know, you just left the house that day, like, thinking everything was going to be a normal day, and the next thing you know... Oh, and there is some of that stuff in that story that kind of, like, they build up sort of, like, some of the just, like, mundane, everyday things going on around it.
Yeah.
You know, that just suddenly, all of a sudden, Doomsday tears a swath through. Man... I'm sorry, I'm having this like...
reliving the death of Superman.
Yeah, I'm just having this moment of like realization of like, oh, wow. I mean, and in all the stuff that I've like read and watched, you know, like little like documentary things about that story and like interviews with the creators, it's like I've never really thought about that aspect of it.
Who are the head writers on the Superman books? Was it Dan Jurgens?
Dan Jurgens was the writer-artist on Superman.
He's still doing... Superman.
I mean, after quite a lengthy break,
right?
it was Dan Jurgens was the writer artist on Superman. Louise Simonson was writing Man of Steel with John Bogdanov as the artist.
And they had, that's who did Panic in the
yeah,
Sky.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like the artist on that from the outset for like quite a while. I want to say Roger Stern was writing Action Comics. And the art on that, I think, oh wait, or was he doing Adventures of Superman? Tom Grummett was the artist on Adventures of Superman. I'm not sure who the writer was.
Who drew Superman 75? Was that Jurgens?
Dan Jurgens, yeah. Another thing that was cool about that whole build-up to the death of Superman, issue 75 is like all splash pages.
Yeah.
But it's like the issue before, every page was like two half panels. Pages.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like before that, every page was three panels. You know, like split up like that. They like intentionally did this thing where it was like building up to.
So I knew the last issue was all full page. I don't think I realized each issue built up to that.
One, I didn't realize that at the time. I had no. I mean, you know, it was like years later before I was like, oh, wait a minute. You know, or probably more likely, someone told me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, hey, look, you notice this? And I was like, what? My mind's blown. But yeah, like that just that horrible random, just like completely unknowable. And the fact that then Doomsday dies also, and you're just like, oh, we're never going to get any answers.
Right.
This guy just showed up and completely ruined our lives. And then, you know, it's like a tornado just coming through all of a sudden.
Right.
And then it's gone.
And then they would flesh it out later with different stories. But it's not the same. It's almost one of those diminishing return things. The more you add to his backstory, the less.
Every time Doomsday has shown up since,
it's been less special.
Yeah. I mean, and obviously, I mean, I know why they want to do it because it does get that reaction. It's like, oh, this is Doomsday.
To the point where he shows up in Infinite Crisis and it literally feels like a throwaway. Like, he's just on a couple pages and it's meaningless.
Yeah. But it's still like I guess when you lived through that with him, you know, when you were in that moment, when you were there for that, and it's like the death of Superman was not just something that you heard about, you know, because you got into comics after that.
Mm-hmm.
It's that thing, though, where you still feel like when he shows up, it's like you go, this could be a big deal.
Right.
Even though it never really seems to be.
It's just got if you're the guy that killed Superman, every time you show up on the page,
you never know. There. It's like you go, what are they? Maybe they are going to do something crazy with it this time. Like maybe this is going to be different. Maybe this will be. And we're actually here today, like to just talk about comics in general and stuff. But we did have two specific comics to talk about, which is the Road to Rebirth, Lois and Clark,
which is
trade
Dan Jurgens,
which written by Dan Jurgens, drawn by like Lee Weeks,
so good,
and
I mean they have a couple good artists on there.
Yeah, Steven Segovia,
Lee Weeks especially is really good.
Yeah, Lee Weeks is great. I'm trying to. There's like a couple other guys, and then the other one was the Road to Rebirth, Final Days of Superman trade, both of which were on sale recently in the big Superman Reborn Comixology sale. I don't know if they will still be on sale when you guys are hearing this, but they're definitely both worth getting. Completely lost my train of thought. Oh, speaking of the New 52, which, and the reason we read both of those is like Superman right now is to kind of give you like a really quick recap if you are not currently paying attention to the Superman comics. And also just to let you know that there's probably, if you have not read any of these comics and you are interested in reading them, definitely going to be some spoilers, and there's definitely going to be. Oh, also, there was probably some spoilers for Panic in the Sky, and
if you've not read that at this point,
and Death of Superman. Sorry for the spoiler; he does die, but it was.
He
like,
gets better though.
He gets better. Yeah, I mean, and it was like 25 years ago. No, 25 years ago or something. Now,
yeah,
1992. Oh boy,
yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a minute. But yeah, there's going to be some spoilers. But currently, the Superman comics right now are in the midst of their biggest creative resurgence since the death of Superman, since that period, the death and return of Superman. I think that both of the Superman books ship twice a month, so there is a new Superman comic every week, which that has not happened since the, you know, back of the heyday in that period when there was four different Superman books coming out. And this, it's two books, but it's still four a month. And like, Dan Juergens is back writing one of them, and that's it's weird because some of it feels like a throwback, but some of it feels very like
Juergens writing action.
He's writing
and
action,
and then Tomasi's yeah. writing.
Peter Tomasi and Patrick Gleason.
Oh, so good.
Are yeah, they're co-writing it.
Oh, I mean, he's co-writing.
Yeah,
okay.
That's like a big thing. Is like it's not just Peter Tomasi. It is Patrick.
So it's kind of like what Wade and Tomney are doing
with their Black Widow, which just ended.
That makes me sad.
Yeah, which I mean, they said that they always planned it to be like a 12-issue thing.
Right.
I don't know that I completely buy that because it's like it seems like no one mentioned it up until the 12th issue was like coming out and right. It's like last issue. I mean, I want to believe them.
Unless maybe they just got an option to do a more exciting project or something.
Yeah, I mean, or maybe it was one of those things where they just like they knew it the whole time and they were just like. But they didn't want to tell people that to start with because they didn't want people to go like, oh, this is just going to end anyway. Yeah. But man, if you're not reading that comic, that's you are missing out because the storytelling in that is like, it, and I think that's part of what's cool. Like when you let an artist also like let, you know, when an yeah. artist is also part of the storytelling is like a bigger part of the storytelling unit.
You get some really creative storytelling
yeah.
stuff.
I mean, just yeah. some of the way they are using visuals in these books, and you see that happen in books where you let a writer, you know, when you let an art, not always, sometimes when you let an artist write
sometimes
a book,
they need more direction.
Yeah, sometimes they need a writer with them. But like, that's an example of a time when it's like, it's working out, that Somni and Wade are a great team.
Right.
And Mark Wade also seems to really thrive when he can work with an artist that they can like really get on the same page. Cause like him with Michael Ringo on Flash and on Fantastic Four,
right.
It's like, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, when he can get was, I mean, I think Mark Wade's a great writer, you know, just
sure.
In general, he's a guy who's written some of my all time favorite comics, but when he gets with someone, I think that really brings out the best in him is when he gets with an artist that he can really like click with mm-hmm. and they can really, you know, well, like all that Daredevil that
yeah.
Mark Wade
that
and Chris Somni did.
Yeah.
Man, talk about just every month, like a new treat for me that I just like could not wait for.
His Waringo Fantastic Four, that's my favorite comics.
All of time. All time?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when I was going to ask some questions about some of that stuff, like as far as like when I started asking you about like what your background with comics
right.
was, I was going to ask some of those things, but then clearly we took off down a different path. Yeah, and I think those are like, those are comics I think absolutely everyone that likes comics should read. If you want to understand like why the Fantastic Four are a big deal or should be a big
right.
deal and like why it's so like insanely disappointing that those movies keep making terrible movies with these characters. It's just like, man, it just blows my mind when it's like, look at this huge wealth of amazing stories with these characters
yeah.
you have and you keep making these awful movies. And it's like, it's one thing if you don't
never saw the most recent one because it just got so poorly.
Oh my gosh, what a mess. Not even worth talking about. It's a mess. It is a huge, and it feels like a mess. I mean, it's clearly one of those things where it's like, one of these days, I hope a documentary comes out about like everything, how everything went wrong with that movie, like all the behind the scenes
right.
studio stuff. Because that's clearly, and
that means someone would have to spend time with it.
Yeah. But I mean, those documentaries about stuff like that are just absolutely fascinating to me. Speaking of the death of Superman, have you seen that documentary that's called The Death of Superman Lives, which is a documentary about the making and then not making of
the Nicolas Cage?
The Nicolas Cage Tim Burton Superman.
I've heard of it. I've not seen it.
Well, I'm gonna let you borrow it when we get done here
okay.
because it's amazing. It's just like, this is, it's incredible to see like all this behind the scenes stuff and just to go, but to see like how badly things can get messed up and how like people can have good intentions
mm-hmm.
and people can be idiots. You
yeah.
know, like some people can have good intentions and then some people can just be total idiots and like that don't understand a thing at all. And just like, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. And that kind of stuff is always like, I'm like such a sucker for that kind of thing. And like books on that kind of stuff. It doesn't have to be a documentary. Somebody write a book about it. Like I got a book that's all the behind the scenes turmoil of what it took to get that John Carter movie made. Because I love that movie. But it's like all the roller coaster of getting that movie made like, and just how long it took to get it made, and like how many different studios had had the rights to John, to like the Edgar Rice Burroughs books before that one finally happened. And then all the stuff that went wrong when once Disney finally did start making it, like all this behind the scenes stuff. It's just absolutely fascinating. Did you see that movie?
I didn't see it.
Okay. It's great. It didn't do well. You know, it did okay, but it didn't.
Was there any sequels, or was it just a one shot?
It was. Deal? There was supposed to be.
But the first one didn't do well enough to get future ones.
But it's like part of why it didn't do well is because of all this behind the scenes. It's not the movie's fault.
Right.
But, you know, then you go, you see a movie like that. Like, we go to the theater and, like, I can't believe, like, now we're talking about John Carter. But, like, but I could do a whole episode just talking about John Carter. It's awesome. But, like, you know, you go to see a movie like that. And you've kind of heard maybe it's like it's not getting good reviews, or you go and it's like the theater's not, there's not many people in it, and it's like opening weekend, and you watch the movie and you're like, man,
yeah,
that movie was great. Like, why is this getting bad reviews? Or like, why was nobody here? This movie was so cool. And then, you know, 2 years later, somebody writes a book like that, or, you know, three, however many, you know, somebody writes a book that's like, oh, this is all the stuff that happened. And you just go, wow.
Yeah. Like, you can make a great thing, and if it's not marketed just right, or it doesn't come out the right month of the year, it can just get lost in the shuffle. And
or there could be some higher up at the studio, in John Carter's case, it's like there's somebody at the studio who actively wants to sabotage it. Yeah. Like, because it's
political,
like,
stuff.
Yeah, stuff like that, where it's like, this was somebody else's thing, and I have a thing against them. I want to see them fail so that they get fired or whatever. You know, stuff like that happens. And you just go, oh, so it has nothing to do with the movie. And it's like, then you see like why people in Hollywood go crazy, where it's just like, oh, there can be all this stuff. You can be super talented. And then like you get blamed for making a bad movie when it's like, or making a movie that flops. And it's like, but I worked really hard. I made a good movie, you know, or like I was trying to make a good movie. And then these people came in and said, no, you have to add this, this, and this. You have to change this, which is like in the case of that Fantastic Four. You know, there's stuff where they're just going like, the studio's like, this is too dark, or this is too creepy. Like, go back and change this, add this scene, take all that out. And you're like,
so you end up with a muddled mess of a
You end
thing.
Up something that's just like a mess. And it's like, why did you hire me? You guys approved this script that I wrote.
Right.
Why are you, man, we're really getting off topic, but it all matches together.
I think a common thing in comics is with, editorial decisions that don't fit organically in a story, so you just got some really jarring story. It's all the long running continuity characters, Superman, Spider-Man, they all have those moments where an editorial decision, a business political decision, just makes for some jarring story. And then you eventually gets right back on track, but for a while there, it's like, this is just ugly. It's a mess.
Well, it's also that thing, though. It's like you see a lot of people come from Hollywood to want to and do comics and like love it, because they're like, oh, you mean I can just say, make Superman do this. Matt's water. Matt's got us. We're enjoying sparkling waters here in the spacious. What's the word I'm looking for? I can't. Oh, this is the worst feeling in the world when you're recording a thing that's about talking and then you can't remember a word that's right on the tip of your tongue. Anyway, the Keep It Close to Me studios where we're recording this are just so palatial and high tech and wonderful. But we've got sparkling waters here, and Matt had the lid off of his just a little bit.
It was hissing.
It was like quietly hissing. And I heard that and I thought it was mine.
Your cap's off.
Yeah, but then I looked in the cap and I was like, man, what is. Well, I thought then maybe it's not. Maybe that's not what it is. I was like, maybe that's something outside. Maybe there's like some small birds making weird noises. But you hear, comics people coming to, or Hollywood people coming to comics and going like, oh, I say I want this to happen. And then in like 2 months, a comic where what I said happens comes out.
Right.
Like somebody draws it and you're just like, I love this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like compared to, and people who have only worked in comics might go, oh, the editorial restrictions here are just, you know, strangling.
There's nothing compared to when you're doing movie production.
You do it, especially when you're doing some like huge, you know, some kind of like huge movie or whatever.
And so much more money's involved too.
Yeah. There's the risk in when you and especially like when you've worked in Hollywood, not like I have. I mean, I'm saying this like I know this is all just based on things I've heard, famous people say. But yeah, that idea of being able to just go like, well, also like you write a script in Hollywood and then like it may not get turned into a movie for 5 years or something, you know? And then when it does get made, people have come in and like changed stuff around.
20 rewrites.
Yeah.
Later,
all these rewrites. And like, but you get blamed for the original because you wrote the original script and then you get blamed for all this stuff. But it's like, and then, and it took forever to even come out. So you don't know if it's going to turn out good or not. But then like you imagine being in that world and then you come to comics and because you're someone that people have heard of, because you've written movies, they go, oh, you can do whatever you want. They're like, so little editorial restriction.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, and then the issue comes out in like 2 or 3 months and you go like, wow,
yeah,
I got to write a superhero movie and it's exactly like what I wanted. And there's no budget. Like, the budget is as big as I want if I go, right, like, now Brainiac and Doomsday show up.
I remember reading, this is going way back, you mentioned Wizard Magazine earlier. I remember reading a Wizard Magazine interview with Todd McFarlane. And it was, I remember it was like one of the back page ask some questions thing. And him talking about that idea. And as a kid, I didn't quite get it. But he talked about how he would rather work on a comic than on a movie or even go see a movie, because like he's like, man, back then, I mean, special effects have certainly grown in 20 something years, but he's like, I can create something on the page better than what I could see or create in a movie. And then financially, without all those expenses and stuff, and just that idea of what comics is a unique medium that you can do stuff with that you can't.
Well, because even with animation, like, you know, you can do with animation, like they talk about on stuff like on the Simpsons commentaries, like on Futurama, stuff like that, where they're going like, you know, yeah, we can just, if we want to 1 week, have them go to Mars or, you know, or have the Simpsons go to Japan or something. Animation allows us to do that. And it's like, and that's amazing. But it's also, it's like, but with animation, it's like when you do that, then you have to design, all right, what is Mars going to look like?
Right.
And it's like, there's so much work involved because there's so many more moving parts.
Right.
But yeah, and then with comics, it's like, I might only, it's like this huge spaceship is going to show up, but it's like, it might only be on one page. You know, the artist might only have to draw it once.
Right.
And then it gets blown up. You know, and it's like, you don't have to spend any money to blow that ship up. It's not like you have to build a model. It's not like you have to do it in CGI and it takes like 300 man hours of computer time to, like, you know, whatever. Like, just all that stuff. Comics are so unique. And it's like, I wish that I could kind of... Well, I've started to ask, I wish I could know like what comics seem like to kids now, but you've got kids, do your kids, and your kids are, was it?
Have a 9-year-old son, Thomas, and then we have 2 girls, a 8-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Okay. And like, are any of them at all interested in comics? I know you said you guys, like, they like Teen Titans Go.
Mm-hmm.
Are they into comics at all?
Yeah, they'll read them, and I'll read to them.
Yeah.
We're doing Squirrel Girl right now. I don't know if you read Squirrel Girl.
Oh, of course.
But it is so great.
Yeah.
And just perfect for that, hitting adults and kids. And
right.
They are loving Squirrel Girl. And on all, you know, for boys and girls, it just works for everybody. So, going through Marvel Unlimited, going through Squirrel Girl. We've done Spider-Man on Marvel Unlimited. The Power Pack. Mm-hmm. Bunch of miniseries.
Yeah, that they did like
how do you pronounce?
Guri.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yes, though. It's two Japanese girls who are an art team called Guri Hiru. And I'm still probably, like, I absolutely love them.
Right.
I've gotten like,
so great.
I've gotten everything that they have done in America. Like, they do the art on like the Avatar comics. And like they've done a bunch of stuff for Marvel. And it's like, I love their stuff so much. There's actually, they did all the, all the spot illustrations for a Japanese Star Wars dictionary, like an illustrated Star Wars dictionary.
Okay.
To help you like learn, I think it's to help Japanese people learn English words using Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
And it's like, I've been trying to get a copy of that like on eBay or something, but it's like, it's always crazy.
So those Power Pack miniseries that they did
are great.
And I'm trying to remember the right, was it Fred Van Lent or who did they have?
There's several different
writers.
Andy Sumerak, I think, was the writer.
You're
on
right.
Some of them. I think Fred Van Lente did some of them. But there's like, yeah, there's a bunch of those. And there's like Thor and the Warriors 4.
Those were a perfect gateway drug comic. Yeah. because the tie-ins with Spider-Man, with Thor, yeah, with Hulk. We're teaming up with Wolverine this week. We're teaming up with... and then the art was so fun, and the stories were fun. But then 4 issues, you know, yeah, so it can get through it. And, you know, if we're reading it as a bedtime story, we're getting through it in a week. And
yeah.
So anyway, I read the comics to them. They like that a lot. And then there are...
Do you do the voices and stuff?
I definitely do the voices. Squirrel Girl especially.
Yeah. What's Squirrel Girl's voice like?
Goodness, without having...
I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Well, so Squirrel Girl, because she has the most lines, is probably just the most my regular voice. Right. But then Tippy Toe, mm-hmm, I go real high pitch with Tippy Toe. Yeah, whatever he's... Squirrel... Doreen, we gotta go over here.
Oh, that's super fun.
So yeah, you gotta do the voices. And then they do have some that they like to look at. We hit up Free Comic Book Day, and they'll get a stack.
Yeah.
And they'll read through. My son really liked... Oh, man. I can't remember the name of it. I can see it in front of me. So it's not Marvel DC. It's like an independent thing. It's... goodness, what is that book called? I'm going to get through it roundabout ways. It's an artist. Man, he worked with Jonathan Hickman on Fantastic Four.
Uh-huh.
And he paired up with like this MIT professor,
uh-huh,
to do these comics that are like, it's like kid stuff, but it's also science-y.
Uh-huh.
I'll think of it later. It'll okay. come to me much later, and then I'll drop it in there. But yeah, those comics were fun, and my son really liked that. Because it's got fun kid adventure stuff, and then also working in like real life science projects you can do at home stuff right. too.
Oh, that's cool. No, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about, but I also cannot think of the name of it. Yeah. Oh shoot! Now there will be two people bothered. Now we're both going to be just completely stymied. Like, what was it? Yeah. Anyway. So they
put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes. So they as kids, like, that's kind of what I'm always curious about is, like, I see kids on Free Comic Book Day, like, up there, you know, at the store, but I'm going, like, do they still, or are comics just, like, too, like, paper, yeah, you know, or they're like, do they, well, and I guess you're saying you were reading some of the stuff Marvel Unlimited, mm-hmm, with the iPad, sponsored by Apple, what am I trying to ask here? I've always, that's kind of like my question is, like, even when you see kids are clearly interested in these characters, I mean, just the way pop culture is just completely saturated by them at this point, kids are definitely clearly interested, you know, like you go to like the whole toy aisle and like clothes and like right. just all the stuff you see at Target, and like it's just kids are definitely interested, so the question I keep having is just going like, but do they care about the comics? Or it's like, or do they see the comics and be like, oh, that's cool, this has got whoever right. in it, and then they read it and they're like, I don't understand this, or like I'm curious. I mean,
yeah, at least up until this point, the comics they've read are super continuity light, because mm-hmm. like what we were talking about, my first comic was thrown in the deep yes. end Superman oh, continuity,
yeah, yeah,
and I don't think that they've had that same experience yet mm-hmm. because they're. Those power packs, Squirrel Girl, all the stuff that they've enjoyed, the Spider-Man, they did an Infinite comic that was, which if you don't know, is just a moving comic
yeah.
kind of thing for digital, but it was based on the Spider-Man TV show, so everything was super continuity light, and I don't think any of them have read stuff that you really needed to know more than the basics to get and to enjoy.
But I think, well, it's weird, you know, we say that, but it's like, I think that like the Teen Titans Go show is like every episode of that is just madness. Like you don't have to know what the deal with the Titans is to
to
get the jokes, and it's like you don't have to know everything about them to kind of like catch. I mean, you can have fun with it, and it's like, so I feel like that's kind of how comics felt to me back then. Was I was like, even though, you know, it wasn't like funny, it wasn't that same kind of thing, but it was like you could just drop in and go, like, this is exciting. I want to know more.
Right.
I want to see more of this. But it's like, I sometimes think like, well, is it like kids have access to so much now, like so many different things they have to pick from, choose from. I mean, you know, it's like they have, like there's content that a kid would want to view or take in or play or whatever. just is everywhere. Limitless yeah. everywhere. Yeah. And it's like, so you go, there's, I think like I liked those comics, even though I had no idea what was going on so much, because I was so like hungry for that content.
But that experience of pouring over the same 20-page comic book 100 times, I don't know if they'll ever do that, because first of all, Dad's got 1,000 other comics that they could look at.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Or there's, man, on the iPad, or there's cartoons. There's always other stuff. There's so much content out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's like when we were kids, and it was like looking at some of that stuff. I would like, yeah, I would pour over those same like couple comics I had over and over and over, because it's like there's nothing else.
And even TV before Netflix. Like if your show wasn't on,
yeah,
you can't
it wasn't
just
on.
Watch it.
Yeah. Well, it's, or when I think about, you know, like in a pre Cartoon Network world, or like, or, you know, or if you didn't have cable or something, couldn't watch, you know, what, just thinking about like how many hours of the day TV was stuff I had no interest in watching.
Right.
There was just like stuff where I'm like, this is
if MacGyver's not on right now, yeah. You just got hours of
just
like, books.
I guess I'll play with my toys, or, you know, like, I mean, and not to say kids didn't have other stuff to do. Like, we had other things to pick from. You know, I had video games, but it was like, but I could only play video games. Like, I could only play Nintendo, like, if Peggy wasn't trying to watch something on the TV.
Right.
You know, it's like if she was wanting to watch, you know, some boring grown up show, it's like, well, I guess I'm not doing this, you know, because right. I have to go to my room and read my comics, or, you know, whatever. But, you know, I get, or it's like, I guess I can go outside, or like, or play with this, whatever. But it's like, you just pour over those comics because it was like, oh, there's no other superhero stuff. Maybe there's like one superhero cartoon that comes on Saturday mornings, but that's like one day a week.
Right. When did that Fox X-Men cartoon come on the scene?
In like 92.
So it was around.
Yeah.
Around then.
Yeah. Not too far off. But then also that was like a big, you know, that Spider-Man cartoon was also on Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, that was life-changing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's not that we didn't have other stuff, but yeah, that idea of like kind of going over the same thing over and over. Well, and sometimes it's funny, like sometimes I think about comics that I have read more recently and I just have like, I go, what happened in that?
Yeah.
You know, and I go like, man, why don't I remember this the way that I used to, like how I have like every panel of Wildcats number one
right.
memorized. And it's like, oh, because you haven't read this comic 1,000 times.
Right.
With those like old comic. And I remember like I would take like, you know, you would get that bag of comics at the comic store, you know, put it in like the paper bag. And like, then I would take that paper bag or paper bags, you know, multiple ones, filled with comics with me on trips and stuff, mm-hmm. or like anytime I'd go somewhere. And it's like, I'd have these same comic, you know, like same handful of comics, or sometimes it like swap out, you know, something new would move in or something. I'd switch it out. But it's like, I would just have these same comics that I would read like over and over and over. Even when I started getting more and more, there's still certain ones
right.
that were like, oh, I got to take this one with me though. Or I've got to take these 10 with me everywhere. Just,
yeah. And so I don't know if they feel more disposable now because there's just so much, and to keep up, you have to go through at them in such a rapid clip, because there's well done comics that probably even better done than those ones in the past, just because they've been able to learn
yeah.
from the past. But yeah, you go through them so quick, and then so much time passes before the next one, so you forget what even happened. And
yeah. Well, and it's just like everybody, I feel like everybody's to read pile is just always constantly just rising.
I'm consistently
rising.
6 months to a year behind on all comics.
Yeah.
I'm just behind. And to the point where, this may be so off topic now, but I'm thinking about just the way I buy comics, all those kind of things, to where maybe even going completely Marvel Unlimited. Just decide, I'm just going to be 6 months behind on Marvel and just be okay with that.
Yeah.
Just from a cost perspective.
yeah.
And Marvel recently changed how they do digital a little bit. You don't get a free digital copy with the paper copy
Ooh.
Anymore. And that's a big deal. Like
yeah.
that makes the price point. Because they're not coming back down on the price point.
Nope.
And there'd be books, you know, there's some books I'm always going to want to buy, have a paper copy of. Spider-Man is that way, if Marvel still published Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four and Amazing Spider-Man, I'll always buy paper copies as long as they'll put it out.
I'm really hoping that the thing that Mark Waid and Chris Somney are going to work on next
is Fantastic Four. I was thinking if there's a book that would pull them away, Fantastic Four or Somney would do an Indiana Jones book. And they would leave Black Widow for one of those two. That's my conspiracy theory, is that maybe one of those two.
Oh my gosh. Either one of those, that would be so exciting. I mean, to be. Oh, well, also, did you read that Rocketeer that they did together?
No, I need to. My, I think we even talked on Twitter about it. I don't think I ever read it.
Holy cow, man! Yes, it's so great. Like that's a comic. Well, I will say this: Chris Somney's stuff is comics that I do remember, like comics that I read as a kid, because like I go back and just like. Poor. He is a dude who's like, I still just like, I go back and look at that.
It's
like
a master class in storytelling.
Yeah, I just sit there and flip through, and it's like, you know, over the last several years, anytime I have been working on something that was like an actual comic project, like so often, I'm just going like, how would Chris Somney do this? You know, how would he try to, or if it's even just like this page is supposed to have X number of panels on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will go through a bunch of Chris Somney books and go like, let me find instances of pages where he had, you know, 9 panels right. or 3 panels or what, you know, whatever the whatever the number is. And I just go through and like find a bunch of different instances of how he would set up like a 7-panel page and just try to go like, okay, this is some different ways I can approach it. Just like all of his stuff is just so, I don't know what it is. Like, because I don't think I could ever... It's certainly not a thing like, oh, he's an artist that I like relate to. Like we're cut from the same cloth. It's definitely not that, because he is just, you know, he's amazing. But like his stuff, there's just something about it that connects with me where I can like sort of look at some of his stuff and go like, and it speaks to me in that way where I go, I feel like I understand why this is laid out mm-hmm. like this, or why this, that, or whatever. And even if I can't draw like this, even if I can't do it this well, it at least gives me some kind of like, it gives me a sort of like a kind of a fundamental, you know, like the skeleton idea of like, this is why you do this, or right. like, this is why this works, or like, I see why he did this. Anyway, man, why were we talking about that? You said something about Fantastic Four, if they were still publishing it.
How I buy it. So I'll buy those paper comics, and again, there's lots of Marvel that I buy, but now I kind of want to switch to going entirely digital, and my paper comics be DC.
No joke. The them cutting out that digital copy is like made me go, I'm like, that's made it very easy for me to go like, I don't need to buy some of these books anymore.
My guess would be the reason why is because you had the back market of digital codes being sold on eBay, and I read a lot of books that way too. You know, I can't afford $4 or $5 books. There's only so many of those you can afford, but I can get a little 99-cent code.
Yeah.
And so, but
also, who cares? People are still reading your book. Like, why would that?
Well, because I guess they're not getting that 99 cents. So they want they're cut out of the. Anyway.
But someone bought that comic to begin with.
Right.
It's like if I buy, you know, X-Men number one with a code, and I'm like, I don't want this code. I've already paid that $4.99 for the book, though.
So I guess they're thinking diehard folks will buy it both in paper and in digital. They'll double dip on them, but that's just greedy. And I think it's going to hurt them in the long run.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that it's like, okay, yeah, like that thing where they're like, okay, now you get 3 digital comics. But it's like, what if it's 3 books I don't care about at all?
Well, and then it for every book you get that month, is it those same 3?
It's those same 3 books. So it's like, who cares?
And all that stuff's probably on unlimited... Anyway.
Yeah, it's going to end up on unlimited. If it's not already, it's going to end up on unlimited. That's the thing is, it's like there were so many books where I was like, I was buying them because I was like, well, it comes with that code.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I would buy the book and read it and go and then like just like give the paper copy to, if it was something I didn't care about, you know, something I wasn't like big on, I would just go ahead and like go, here, I'll drop these off somewhere.
Yeah. Right, I'd usually eBay the paper copy, and then if I liked the story, buy the trade. If I didn't like the story, then...
Yeah, then it's fine. But it's like, I would go, I still feel like I have something for this.
Right.
Like, I've still got that digital copy if I ever want to go back and reread it. If it's something that's just kind of like, whatever. But man, yeah, them drop... And I would absolutely love for DC to go like, oh, all right, we're going to swoop in here. And like, Marvel doesn't want to do that anymore?
Yeah.
Okay, we will. All right, everybody, you know what that sound means. It means it's time for us to wrap this episode up. And that's okay, because I think that episode was, you know, pretty good length. Matt and I talked a lot. I hadn't talked to him in a long time, though, so that's pretty cool. I was a little nervous at first when I asked him if he wanted to get together and talk about comics. I was a little nervous after having not seen each other for so long that maybe it'd be a little weird, be a little awkward seeing each other again. And, like, then I would have sort of trapped myself into this very long, awkward conversation situation. Because that's the kind of thing that you worry about when you are a person who gets nervous about things, worries about stuff. But, hey, there was no need. Because Matt was just like... His personality was just like I remembered it. And he was a lot of fun to talk to. And so I had a lot of fun talking to him. And I hope you guys had a lot of fun listening to us. Because there's an even longer episode coming next week. And we're going to be talking more about Superman comics. Specifically, we're going to be talking next week about the Superman comics we were really supposed to be talking about. But we still only got to talk about half of the Superman comics I said we're going to talk about. So if you want to read the Road to Rebirth Lois and Clark trade paperback collection that DC Comics has put out, it's on Comixology, it's on Amazon, it's at your local comic shop. That's a thing you can go ahead and do if you want to be prepared for what we're going to talk about next week on the show. And then the week after that, hopefully, we will be talking about the DC Rebirth Superman Reborn? Is that what it's called? Superman Reborn. That's what it's called. Because this week, as I am recording this, and as you are hearing this, Matt and I will be meeting up at the comic shop for the first time for what we hope will be a ongoing, recurring, fun weekly meetup to talk to each other about comics, since we don't really have anybody else in our lives right now to talk to about comics. We have wives that will listen to us up to a point, but you know, it's not their thing, and that's fine. they're kind to listen to us and to humor us for as long as they do. But we'll probably be this week when we're going to meet up to do that is when the final chapter of the Superman Reborn saga comes out, and so we'll be getting that. Hopefully you can't hear all the birds outside and the cars driving by and such like that right now. If you can, that it just lets you know that I'm really in the world. I'm not just some voice somewhere in the ones and zeros of the internet. I'm a real boy with a real microphone in front of him that picks up outside things sometimes. So that's fun. It's fun to do a podcast for you guys. Sometimes it takes longer than I would and than I anticipate, or longer than I would like, and that's a bummer. But you know, I hope you guys put up with it. Just understand I'm trying my best, because I like making a podcast for you, and I hope that you enjoy the podcast that I make for you. So, what else is there to say, guys? Tune in next time for the next exciting episode of Comics Rule Everything Around Me with my friend Matt, where we'll keep talking about Superman comics. Follow the show on Twitter at KICTM Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at The Chris Haley. I can't think of what Matt's Twitter name is right now, but I'll put it in the show notes. What else? You can send your emails, your questions, and stuff like that to keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. You can go on iTunes and leave us a review. That would be a super cool thing for you to do if you haven't yet. You can also, something just a personal favor, you could email me or tweet at me or tweet at the show, whatever you have to do, whatever works for you, and tell me what you listen to the show on. Do you listen to it on your phone through an app called Podcast Addict? Do you listen to it on your phone through an app called Podcast, but it's not really an addiction? It's not really like a problem yet. I listen to a couple podcasts. I know what you're thinking. That's a really long name for an app. They probably wouldn't let that in the App Store because the title's too long. Well, to which I say, you clearly know more about the App Store than I do. So, sorry. Just let me know what you listen to it on. Maybe it's on Stitcher. Someone said Stitcher once, and then I had to look up how Stitcher works. But let me know. Let me know if there's somewhere I should be putting it that I'm not, like SoundCloud or something. Is that a place people want to listen to podcasts? I don't know. Then, if you're still in a favor, giving, doing kind of mood, you can go to patreon.com/thechrishaley. If you don't already, you can support the show. You can get behind the scenes stuff, early access to episodes, things that the regular listeners, who are great, don't get me wrong, you guys are still great, but you can get some stuff that those people don't get. You get to see some behind the scenes things, really see how the sausage gets made. The podcast sausage. That's the thing you can do. You can get cool stuff in the mail, all that kind of thing. You guys know about all this stuff. It's probably not your first episode, but if it is, welcome. I hope you had a good time. Now, a lot of times at the end of the show, when it's almost the end of the show, I like to answer Twitter questions. But since we cut this off about halfway through our conversation, a little less than halfway through, I don't have any Twitter questions. So instead, fortunately for me, at 6:31 a.m. this morning when I'm recording this, good friend Joe Martini, who you may remember from previous episodes of Comics Rule Everything Around Me, sent me this humdinger of a question. Hey Chris, long time, first time. How do you pronounce the town of Bloodhaven in your mind when you read it? I read it Bloodhaven. Thanks, I'll hang up and listen. Well, Joe, I think you can tell from the way that I read that question that you and I are 100% on the same page, my friend. I don't know what else you could do but pronounce it Bloodhaven. It's got an umlaut, I think. Maybe it's Bloodhaven. That would certainly give it a much less ominous feel. This has been Keep It Close to Me, a podcast about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. I'm Chris, your podcast pal, and I will just leave you with this. So they got me in this DC Universe game. I hit a wall where it was like, I could not get past this one level. And it was like, you had to get past this level, basically, to get the way it works is like, you get like these sort of like character coins. And if you get a certain number of them, then it's like, that's when you unlock a new character.
Okay. You're playing against a computer, not other people.
Sometimes there's also like the PvP stuff where you're playing against, it's still, you're playing the computer, but the computer is using another actual user's team.
Okay.
An actual player's team. And they're using your team against other people while you're not playing also.
Okay.
And like, so sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and you get points for all of that stuff. But I got to, I just want Superman. And I'm like, so close on how many coins you have to have to unlock Superman. But this, like, beating this one board was like, oh, when you beat this level, you unlock a bunch more coins for Superman. And it's like, that was what was going to push me over the edge to get him. And I just couldn't get it. And I was like, this level's impossible. And like, then all I was doing basically was like grinding to try to level my team up enough to be able to beat this level. And it's like, in the course of like trying to keep like building my team up, you know, other events were happening where I'm like, okay, yeah, I guess I do want Damian, or like, oh cool, you know, Batgirl, yeah, I want her. So I end up playing it like that, you know. And of course it's got that system where it's like you can only play like however many times a day, and then it's like, oh, if you want to play more, 99 cents or something. And so, and I'm like, with those games, I'm always like determined not to spend any money.
Right.
I'm like, you're not going to cheat me out of this. Either let me pay for the game or I'm not going to pay anything. It's free.
Yeah.
But I finally got to the point. I was like, I'd just been like grinding and grinding and grinding on like trying to level those guys up. And I was just like, you guys are once I get Superman, then what? Then I'm going to have to like level him up.
Right.
You know, I'm just going to be grinding on
somebody
like,
else.
Yeah. Like trying to level that up. And it's like, no. But I was like I was just so obsessed with like, I just let me get Superman. And I was like, I'm spending way too much time.
Yeah.
Just like doing nothing, accomplishing nothing.
The Spider-Man one is very similar. It's a running game, but it's better than like
a
Temple
lot of those
Run
running,
or something. Cause you can swing, you can fight, you can do stuff you can't do in other running games, but it's all the only, yeah, you're just unlocking. Well, there are like missions, levels, there's stuff you're beating the Sinister Six.
Oh yeah. Don't get me wrong. Like I've had fun playing it. Like the fights and like when you're, you know, cause you put together this team and you're like, I'm trying to put together a team that you feel like will work well together to take on like whoever's like in this level. Mm-hmm. And you'd move and it's like it when your plan works out where you're like, boom, I hit him with this, and then Green Lantern's gonna hit him with this, and then Zatanna's gonna do this. It's like that feels awesome. Yeah. But then I was like, there's no point. This is pointless. Yeah.
Well, I was working towards the whole reward system in that game is just different costumes, different skins. So for a while I was working towards plain clothes Peter Parker because he just looked really cool, just in just regular street clothes. And then I got him, and I was like, okay. And then it was,
now what?
And you do one run with him, and you're like, all right. And but then they waited forever to release just plain black costume Spider-Man,
right?
Just the regular classic black costume. There's probably there's probably over 100 different costumes they have on that aren't plain black costumes.
Yeah. That would get me though, like having the like different costume options for comic characters. Yeah. Like that would be tough for me to. Pass
I've got like they but they don't give you the one you want. They give you She Venom, and that's not even. They give you these.
Who
ones,
is this?
Someone that appeared in some obscure something. And then when Spider-Verse came out, they had those different obscure ones. But what that does is it dilutes the pool toward the, because you're just pulling out of a grab bag kind of thing, and it's randomized. And
no, they know who you are. They study your like.
He's going
profile.
For that black costume.
They're like, we know which one he wants.
I would give him everything, but...
Yeah. That's how I felt.
I put it down. I'm done.
Yeah. I can't spend any more time on this.